But perhaps I have begun to get too far ahead of myself, as I am so well known for doing, having jumped from the beginning to the end with only several leaps. So let's turn back for just one moment, long enough to ask, just what is Messianism anyway? Please notice that I am carefully avoiding the word church. That word that the Romanists just love to throw around. I will get back to the whys and wherefores of that in just a few moments. So please bear with me if I am seeming to be overly discursive. As you will soon enough see, these concepts and misuse of language are interwoven into one another from very early on. Messiah means anointed. Christos is the Greek form of the same word. Hence, Messianism and Christianity are actually one and the same thing. Both looking forward to the coming of a person who is said to have been anointed. For that is the core meaning of the words, one who is anointed, as the Old Testament kings of old were anointed with oil before taking office. They were anointed by men, but this one will be anointed by no less than the Creator himself, a human anointed as a king by God instead of by man. Never forget this. Men love to create much confusion by throwing around the words Christ, Jesus, Christian, and church, and grace, and such like. They will add many new meanings and shades of meaning while avoiding the actual meaning, as if it never existed. Messiah and Christ are words whose real relevance exists before the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, looking forward to a day when God's earthly representative would take up his throne amongst fallen men. This is the promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, Moses tells that God will send a prophet like unto Moses, and that whoever refuses to listen to him will be held accountable. That is the promise. The Heavenly Father will make himself manifest. He will walk amongst men and will talk amongst men, but will be soundly rejected, scorned, and ultimately slaughtered by the very persons who claim to be his good friends. Ouch! That is the messianic promise. A redeemer, a deliverer, a substitutionary sacrifice on behalf of fallen, wicked men. That is the promise. What first started as an oral tradition with reverberations throughout all of the ancient mythologies and especially the so-called hero myths, which then awaited the invention of an alphabetic language from Phoenician to Hebrew to Greek, into which much more detail was now put into writing. For 500 years of Persian ascendancy, our God saw to the building of the Eastern roads by which this alphabetic writing would be able to freely spread. Then the Western roads were built by the Greeks and Romans until the entire ancient world found itself covered with a huge road network by which Paul and the apostles would be able to freely travel from one end of the world to the other. This bringing about the fulfillment of promise by making the communication system come into existence by which this marvelous work and wonder would come into being and then be communicated to all to whom the Lord had ordained from before the foundation of the world. Nothing left to chance, as the Lord God Omnipotent carries his desires into effect in spite of much opposition from Satan and his followers. A war which is being fought continuously while you and I are barely aware, if at all, as to what is taking place all around us on every side. So again, I must ask rhetorically, but of course, what is messianism? It is the waiting for this person to come to this earth and make his presence known. It is the fact that provision has been made and that every detail has been or would be caused to take place under the direction of the highest power. Messianism is the believing in and looking forward to the revealing of the Son of God in human flesh. The revealing of the God-man as King over all the earth and all created beings. It is the waiting and watching for this supernatural person to become manifest. We look for one who is anointed by our Father who art in heaven as his earthly manifestation and representative, containing the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Because he is supernatural, it would only naturally be expected that his earthly presence would be surrounded by the supernatural. A supernatural being surrounded by supernatural goings-on. The revealing of the one who was prophesied from ancient times. A person who would most definitely stand out from the rest of the crowd. A messianic expectation. So, messianism begins with a promise, an expectation, and finally, a fulfillment in the form of an extraordinary being. And of course, all of the controversy that can and will surround such a series of claims and beliefs before, during, and after the fact of the revealing of such an entity. This, of course, includes our recognition of and response to this series of events. For once one becomes cognizant, one becomes responsible, and hopefully responsive, watching and waiting, searching and seeking, until the Son of God is finally and fully revealed to us in this world, awaiting his coming. Accordingly, men diligently searched the prophetic writings for clues as to who it would be, where he would come from, how one would recognize him, and how one could or would tell him from numerous deceivers and pretended messiahs. Satan did not sleep during all of this. Being the deceiver that he is, the father of lies, it didn't take him long to start creating false prophets and false religions and false messiahs, all with just enough truth to trick the unwary. Many world religions and philosophies and belief systems were created by the Dark Lord to turn many away from truth so that they may pay homage to him and his system of lies and half-truths and obfuscations and changing of the plain meaning of words, such that one is so inundated with false signals that it would seem to be hopeless to know Messiah when seeing him. You can hear these same lies every day, right now, as people claim that Jesus of Nazareth is an avatar or a prophet, just like Buddha or Muhammad. Then, because our Heavenly Father chose to give us a book for guidance, now everyone has a book of their own to compete with this Holy Spirit-inspired, God-breathed writings. Rites and rituals, which were created as models and types of things to come, for example, the temple and animal sacrifice, become a part of this panoply of ideas. Because the seed of a woman was promised, all of a sudden every single Satan-inspired mimicry has a mother and child of its own, with statues of same being created early on and then worshipped by all. All of a sudden, there are stories of creatures that are claimed to be half-human and half-god, demigods, sprouting up all over the place. Stories of godlike heroes abound on every side. Through means of cross-cultural exchange, soon enough, every culture has some kind of similar sets of stories, all claiming to originate from some fount of ultimate truth. And no end of soothsayers and prognosticators and all of their huckster enablers, all trying to make a living off of their pretended secret knowledge, create so many lookalikes and soundalikes that it becomes a seemingly overwhelming task to even begin to untangle this web of deceit and lies and misdirection and confusion, whereby Satan causes the hope, which comes from the promise, to turn into hopelessness and a feeling of never being able to ascertain which is truth and which is fiction. The hopelessness which causes one to throw one's hands up into the air as they decide to just reject all of it, all at once. Living in ignorance and despair, seeming far more desirous than this state of affairs. Noting that this model of confusion has worked so well that it was used for thousands of years before and now thousands of years after the revealing of Messiah. Slight permutations from system to system, but all essentially the same when looked upon more closely. So much so that comparative mythology has become an object for study. in which the things in common are shown to be numerous and widespread.